So a while back, I heard about an atheist who says he calls himself an anti-theist, going beyond atheist, calls himself an anti-theist, against God and religion. So I was looking around last night. I Googled this to try to figure out who said it, and I think there are several different people who have identified as this, and I found a thing called New Atheism. This is from Wikipedia. New Atheism. This modern-day atheism is advanced by a group of thinkers and writers who advocate the view that superstition, religion, and irrationalism should not simply be tolerated, but should be countered, criticized, and exposed by rational argument wherever their influence arises in government, education, and politics. Okay, so this is people who feel threatened by religion. Who feel that that religion is something they need to actively be struggling against. Now, in contrast to that, something I've heard some atheists say is they'll say something like, "Oh, I've got no problem with religion. You know, religion gives people a real sense of meaning and community, gives people purpose in life." And first of all, that patronizing and condescending tone really rubs me the wrong way. But on a deeper level, there's something that really bothers me about that, bothers me much more than the anti-theists. And that is that these people don't feel threatened by religion or by religious people. Which I think is an indication, perhaps, that maybe religion in this country is losing its edge, that it's become watered down, the salt has lost its savor, so to speak. So I think that's an attitude that should really alarm us, even though on the surface it sounds very friendly. So, this morning I want to talk a little about uncomfortable truth or offensive truth. More about that word offensive later. Jesus said in Luke 6:26, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." I think this verse applies very well to what I'm talking about this morning. Now, being a prophet in the Old Testament was just about the worst job you could have been called to. And I don't need to explain that to you, but the prophets were beaten, imprisoned, executed. They were mocked and ridiculed. Most usually, people didn't want to hear what they had to say. Now, and so as I was thinking about prophets and false prophets, it reminded me of the story in 1 Kings 22. We covered this in Sunday school, I think it was last Sunday school year. So Ahab and Jehoshaphat got together and were talking about going to war with the king of Aram. And they had about 400 prophets who were prophesying, go to battle, God will give you the victory, it'll be great. But now, and Jehoshaphat, for the most part, I think was a godly man. This story was one of the big mistakes he did make. But I think because he was a godly man, he knew that these guys were fake. So he asked Ahab, he said, isn't there a prophet of the Lord that we could consult? Ahab said, there's one, but I hate him because he doesn't prophesy good about me, he prophesies evil. Well, Jehoshaphat insisted, they brought him out. Sure enough, he prophesied evil, and Ahab said, see, I told you so. And unfortunately, they ignored his warnings. They went out to battle. Things turned out disastrously. In fact, resulting in Ahab's death. But look at that ratio, that 400-to-1 ratio. Doesn't that tell you something? That the false prophets were so popular because they said what the king wanted to hear. Moving on then to the New Testament, Matthew 13, 54-58. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So they were offended by Jesus. Now, typically the word offended has a very negative connotation. Because if someone's offended, someone has committed an offense. They've done something wrong. Well, in this case, obviously, Jesus had not committed an offense. They were offended because they rejected his message. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. Talked earlier about the salt having lost its savor. Another thing about salt is that it stings when you get salt in a wound. Have you ever had a small cut or scratch in your skin that you never noticed until you got something in it? Salt or cleaning chemical or something. Often, I think the offense, when ungodly people are offended because of the truth, it's because the salt of the gospel is getting into the wounds of the world. There's another thing that Jesus said that sounds strange the first time you read it. Matthew 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. For he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now, I heard a story about an unbeliever who was reading the Bible. I can't remember. I'm thinking maybe she was from a Muslim background. I'm not sure. I don't remember the story very well. But when she came to this word, this verse, Jesus said, "I'm not come to bring peace, but a sword." She put her Bible away and didn't resume reading for days or weeks, I believe, because this verse threw her off so badly. Well, Isaiah said that Messiah would be the Prince of Peace. Jesus said here he didn't come to bring peace. Well, the context of this verse, of chapter 10 here, is he is sending the disciples out to preach the kingdom of heaven. And he's promising them that they'll face persecution and opposition. People who don't want to hear your message, hear their message. In verse 16, it says he's sending them out as sheep against wolves. And so the division and the conflict that he predicts is a result of some people accepting and some people rejecting the gospel. And some of you who've done work in Muslim countries or in India have seen this up close. You may personally know people who are dealing with this. So we can reconcile this verse with the Prince of Peace. The contrast is the way people respond to the message. Okay, so back to my main point, the uncomfortable truth, or saying things that make other people uncomfortable. I just want to ask you, what kind of gospel are you preaching? Every one of us is preaching a message, whether you're consciously thinking about it or not, and you should be consciously thinking about it. But even if you're not, our words and actions, in daily life, are sending a message. Are you willing to preach offensive truth? Once again, I don't really like the word offensive, but in this case, I can't think of a better word to use. And I think you all understand what I'm saying here. So, do you make ungodly people uncomfortable? Is your message a threat to the kingdom of darkness? Let's never back down from sharing uncomfortable truth. Let's kneel for prayer. God, I thank you for giving us the gospel, for entrusting us to share it with people. God, help us to share your message with courage and with boldness. God, I pray that you would make us a real threat to the kingdom of darkness. And just help us to preach a message that really means something. I pray your blessing on the rest of the service. Guide and direct our Sunday school hour. Just pray that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.